Yes. Me love you long time. We're back. We are back with another edition of Shoot Defense. For those who don't know, we talk about the Premier League, or in this case, it's the FA Cup because the quarterfinals are done. I'm still Steve Ayers here, Rory Giggs. If you don't know these two by now, where the fuck have you lot been, honestly? Steve, how you doing, man?
Really good, are you?
Yeah, all good, man. All good. Plodding along. We've got this big charity event on Saturday. So we're just doing the last minute bits, finalising a few bits here and there. So it's just been non-stop, all hands on deck, but it's going well, man. Can't complain.
Wish you well with that.
Thank you, man. Rod, you good?
Gala Poyevma.
Oh, Gala Poyevma. Okay, that's good.
Good evening.
That's all right. That's good. It's good afternoon, but you're getting there. So listen, Look, your Greek is better than my Welsh, so...
There we go. Your Welsh is probably better than my Welsh.
No. There's too many, you lot have got too many L's. Too many L's. Just L's, L's, L, L, A, Z, L, 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 A, A, L, L. I can't do it. Although I can say Telethly.
Yeah, there you go. You can say it better than me.
Don't kill me. Flipping out. All right, boys, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this this FA Cup because we've reached the semi-final stage and our quarterfinals are done and dusted. Shall we begin with Sete, Steve?
I'm happy to. I was at the match.
Yeah? Okay, go on. So you trounced Newcastle, absolutely trounced them.
Yeah, not in terms of the scoreline, but in terms of the domination of the tactics and fitness because obviously we had all the ball. And it was just a comfortable evening. It's not blasé, and you've got to give the opposition courtesy. The best thing about Newcastle was the away support. But apart from that, the football was all left and completed by Manchester City.
How would you assess your season so far? Because obviously winning the treble, massive achievement. You guys have got a target on your backs throughout the year. Do you think City have handled it well, the pressure?
Well, I do, and I'm interested to know what you two think, but I'm either waiting for it to happen soon, or I don't know whether it'll happen at all, but it feels like all the energy and adrenaline is with Arsenal and Liverpool, and you could even say Manchester United yesterday from the cup tie, and Manchester City are conducting themselves, we know what we're doing, we've been at this point before, we're not going to get overexcited. But obviously, they're not in pole position of being in the, retaining the Premier League for the fourth year running, or obviously getting through to the cup final yet because they've got to beat Chelsea and obviously Real Madrid in the Champions League. It just seems a real calm existence at the moment and assurance. But I do honestly think, looking at the other clubs, there is more energy and excitement around it because they're actually closer this season.
Okay, where's Rod gone?
Can you still hear me?
I don't know.
My camera's just gone off, but I'm trying to work it out. Technical difficulties, but go on. I can hear you and see us.
Okay, do you want to...
I might come back out.
Do you want to respond to what Steve said, or shall we wait for you to sort out your camera?
No, it's fine. They seem to just starting to get going, aren't they? But it's a cup game yesterday, anyway. It's different than a league match, isn't it? I'm sure. They address it different as a league match. By the looks of it, Eddie Howe did it differently, as different the way Newcastle usually play by the looks of it. But it's still the same result. But big semi-final now, we'll see what happens.
What did you make of what Steve said about the chasing pack, though, putting the pressure on City?
They've been there, done it. So many players now that have been there and done it. I don't think they feel the pressure. They know what they need to do. They just need to implicate it. And they've done it before. Liverpool have kind of done it before with some of the players, but half the players gone. We'll see. Arsenal are in a better position than last year. They've got that experience under the belt, and they've got Declan Rice with an extra bit of quality. Liverpool still young, haven't played a lot of games. Will they be there at the end? Probably not, I'd say. I'd say it's going to be between Arsenal and City this year. And Liverpool might come the end of the season. Game, young kids. But
I do think City are 20 goals down now, Rodri, I mean, you can't have it the same every year. But obviously, Haaland's not going to get as many because he's had time out. And that would be so hard to do anyway, to do what he did last year. De Bruyne is not going to get as many for the same. Let's put double figures at Mahrez, who's no longer there. Let's put double figures at Gundogan, who's no longer there. So the running, if you like, they were sharing the goals around basically at big amounts. They're still playing well. They're still capable. And they've got different talents and a different skill set now, this squad. But I'm guessing they're about 20 goals down at least.
The thing is, Steve, City are grinding out victories. There's a difference. And the previous seasons, they've been winning games at a canter. And normally you'd think, there's a problem here because they're not blowing teams away. But I don't see that as more of an issue, because I think it just shows resilience and it shows the experience. And it goes back to what you said about, you know, the chasing pack. Yeah, they've gathered a head of steam. They've got the momentum, you know, wind at their sails, so to speak. But I still think City are stuck in second gear, man. Although something tells me that...
That's what I say, but I don't know whether it's coming. I don't know whether they're about to put the foot to the floor, or I don't know if they're going to just carry on in this vein as five trophies, you know, in the cabinet, treble winners, obviously, that they are just applying themselves more calmer this year. I don't know whether they're going to ignite, because it's normally about this time. I think probably you'll see it around the Arsenal game at the Etihad. That'll be the one where hopefully the real Manchester City really turn up and basically, you know, go a long way towards getting that fourth Premier League title by beating Arsenal. If they do that, I think they'll win it.
Well, the thing is, you've added Doku to the squad. You've got Bob, the youngster, and Guardiola, who is his first season in England. Yeah. So I don't expect him to have like this outstanding season. You could tell he's still bedding in. So while you do have a squad of winners, you still got a few inexperienced players that haven't done it. But at the same time, it's going to take a while for them to, I don't know, gel. I don't want to use that term because it's used quite a lot. But I still think City have got the minerals to go on and win the title. Granted, it's going to be difficult because, as you mentioned, obviously Arsenal and Liverpool are chasing, but I don't know, man. I just think that City are still stuck in that second gear. Maybe they just can't push the clutch down strong enough. Maybe
what I would say as well, Stel, is though that thankfully, obviously, possibly Bernardo Silva are reaching his peak, getting even better. Rodri is managing to be even better again, and Phil Foden quite clearly is well on course for being one of the best players in the world. So, you know, we've still got plenty, and you just hope then that De Bruyne can get rhythm, Haaland can get back to full rhythm, and then I think probably you'll see us, you know, where we want to be.
The thing is, Guardiola's got this habit of saving players for a certain stage of the season. If you notice, Grealish hasn't been playing as many games. Again, I don't know whether it's been injuries or whether lack of form or maybe Doku's been doing well.
All that.
I think that once Grealish gets his shot in the team, he's not gonna waste it. I think he's gonna be pivotal for you guys this season. I believe anyway.
Well, he's had his shot and he's not taking it. So what convinces you that he'll take his next shot? I mean, he's still been great. And he's actually just starting to get strains for the first time in his career. And kicks seem to be hurting him now because they seem to be, you know, stronger. Let's not forget he gets kicked all over for free kicks. But he's getting kicks that are taking him off the field of play now. He's already sharing his minutes with Doku. And then Doku plays well in that moment. So all in all, he's another one without rhythm. And of the players of last year, you know, De Bruyne without rhythm yet. Haaland without rhythm yet. Grealish without rhythm yet. You know, you hope the best is yet to come, but equally, there is a nagging doubt. Will they actually get back in rhythm? I hope so.
Is he a shoo-in for the England squad for the Euros, though?
Who?
Grealish.
Well, it's just a coin toss whether he starts.
Right. But this is what I'm getting at, because if he isn't guaranteed a place in the squad, then
he's still got. even if he gets a bit part for City and shares his minutes with Doku, he's still likely to start for England left wing. And if he doesn't, he'll have only just missed out on a starting place for England.
Right. So what I'm thinking is that perhaps on the flip side, when he was at Villa, he was the main man. He's come to City, and yeah, he struggled at the beginning, but then back in the last season, he was superb, I think, anyway. Right? I think this is, again, a similar situation to last season, whereby he's going to step up a gear in the business end of the season.
Hope so.
I can see it happening. I don't know. Rod, you probably missed all of that, but we're just talking about Grealish, how he hasn't been playing for City. But do you think that he can make an impact if he gets in the team, if he gets back in the team?
Oh, yeah, 100%. With that, with quality players like that, once they get up to speed, they don't even need many games. The quality players, they just need to be watched and not playing, seeing the playing too much. They pick up injuries again. But no, I don't have no worries. Like I say, once they get up to match fit, these players, they're top-notch players. So, no, I have no worries, no.
Yeah, good. I hope so.
Fair enough. Right, so City will play Chelsea, who disposed of Leicester, even though it was quite a tricky one. Leicester came from two down, put it level, and then Chelsea stepped up a gear and ended up winning it. Raheem Sterling missed a penalty, but scored a free kick, didn't he? He scored a free kick?
Well, he put one over the free kick and over the roof.
I was watching rugby.
Yeah.
But, okay, a lot of people are talking about Pochettino, how he's not the right man for Chelsea. The way I see it, it's his first season.
2 minutes.
Yeah, but this is it. It's his first season, and he's got a brand new squad. I mean, these players, I mean, I don't know how many of them were there last season, to be honest. I mean, Sanchez isn't playing. This new goalkeeper, Petrovic, who joined in the summer. You got the right back. What's his name?
Sanchez played in the game.
Yeah, but in terms of, well, he's lost his place now to the goalkeeper, to the Serbian.
The problem you've got there with this Chelsea team, or Chelsea fans, they're so used to change every so often. And now they're like this new club, and they go a new, different way. Once this thing gets up, they just resort back to normal, and they want a new manager. When, when's it going to just like settle down and, give this coach a good try, at least 2 years? Not like, 6 months.
Yeah, but this is it. Because as you quite rightly said, Chelsea are used to sacking managers left, right and centre. They've had Ancelotti, Lampard, Hiddink, Di Matteo, Villas-Boas, etc. The list goes on, right? But now you've got Todd Boehly that seems to be throwing money at everything without a plan. But they've got a decent squad, but decent ain't gonna win you titles.
They haven't got a striker.
Well, there you go. It's a decent squad, but it's not a very good squad.
They've got one, but they've not got a. They spent all that money, and the most hardest thing in football is to score a goal, and they haven't got a recognised real top notch striker, which they should do with the money that they're out spending on other areas. Surely that's the most important one.
There's an over-reliance on Cole Palmer at the moment, isn't there, Steve? And you know about him from his time at City, no?
Well, I didn't work with him. I'd left. But he's brilliant. And you've got to say, I don't like this phrase, but his numbers, they're absolutely sensational. His match availability, first of all, he's always fit to play, young lad. His running distances, his sprinting distances, but obviously the stuff he does with the ball, his goals, his chances created, his assists, his temperament, he is ice cold, super talented. And I think actually closer to the England team than the opportunities aren't showing at the moment. But I think my best opinion of him is that any challenge he's been given, any shirt he's been given in responsibility, he takes it with aplomb and just keeps getting better all the time. So give him the challenge, give him the City goal at Wembley, give him the City appearance at Wembley, goal. Give him the Super Cup opportunity, goal. Go to Chelsea, get 14 goals, 11 assists, put a load of penalties in, put free kicks in, put back heels into the box for teammates to score. And obviously, so young. just a brilliant, brilliant player. And I don't think anybody would have expected him to be this good, but he has been absolutely brilliant.
Has he been carrying them though this season? Pardon? Has he been carrying them this season though?
He's been carrying them, yeah, which is an extra thing for him at times, because without it, you know, they would probably have been mediocre, but he's changed score lines in Chelsea's favour with absolute brilliance, you know, running from the halfway line against Luton, like I say, ice cold from the penalty spot. I'm just bringing Chelsea, who've got a load of effort and speed. When you think of the strikers that they have got, you think of Sterling, you think of Conor Gallagher. But when the ball comes to Palmer, you've just got a completely wonderful technical player that complements the rest of the team and squad.
Mm-hmm. There's two more players I want to talk about here. Rodri, you can chime in on this one. Conor Gallagher. Now, he's a bit like Marmite. Do you get what I'm saying? Some people like him, some people don't like him. He had a good spell at Crystal Palace. I think he's done all right at Chelsea, but do you think there's too much expectancy on him?
Probably, because, you know, he's not done enough to warrant that expectancy. So, you know, he's got a lot of energy. He's not a top-notch player, but, you know, he could be. He's still young. He's not reached the heights of he did at Palace. Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought he played really well in Palace and fitted in their team really well. He just hasn't really. When I've watched him, you know, you don't really notice him. He's lots of energy, lots of running about, but you don't really notice him. But, you know, you do need energy in your team. You do need that person who can get about the pitch. But, you know, did he expect too much of him? Probably. Because, like I say, he's not worrying it. So, but, you know, I don't think it's down to him. Like I say, they're getting the chances. You know, Sterling yesterday, one-on-ones, missed penalties, you know, they are getting the chances, but they're not taken away because, like I say, go back to what I said, they haven't got the striker that they're spending warrants.
So what about Mudryk then, lads? Because he came with a big price tag and he seems to be in form at the moment, seems to be. If we're basing that on his form when he joined Chelsea, he's in form, really. Again, another player who many believe was overpriced, overhyped. It seems like he was playing like a number 10 role yesterday. Do you think that's better suited to him than wide left?
I think so, yeah. And I think the managers now, it's all just settling down. Football sorts it out in the end. But I have seen it at all levels, but especially at a club that spends billions. You can have too many choices. And if you don't play well one game or you lose or you draw, the easiest thing to do is, oh, give him a go next time. And it's almost like you're trying to roll two dices and get double six all the time. Yeah. Because you've got literally too many choices. When your choices become less through injury and then your team starts to win, I think this current set of Chelsea players in the team at the moment, I think you'll see it settle down now. And I think you'll see Pochettino become a better coach because I think it'll be less roulette selection.
The thing is, lads, at the end of the season, if you look at Chelsea, let's say, for example, you know, they're in the semi-finals of the Cup. Let's say hypothetically, they get to the final. I don't think they will, but let's just say they get to the final and they lose, right? If you'd have told the Chelsea fans at the beginning of the season, after all the shit that happened in the summer, after all the stuff that happened the previous season with Abramovich, all these signings, no decent strikers, Rodri said, if you'd have said to the Chelsea fans, all right, you're going to finish mid-table, but you get into two Cup finals, would you think they'd have taken that?
Well, I'll let Rodri answer first because I've got something at the end of it. I think he'll cover it, but I've got something at the end of it.
Yeah, I think they would have taken it. They wouldn't have been happy with the league position because obviously they would expect Champions League football because they've had it for a few years. But you know, if you would have asked them if they would have got to two Cup finals and lost, no, that'd be a totally different debate because I'm sure pretty sure they wouldn't have took that. So, but yeah, to answer your question, no.
I'm saying no. Do you know why, Stel?
Go on.
The way they resisted in extra time against Liverpool in the final. They held, they went for penalties, they gave an opportunity for the young hearts of Liverpool to create history, but let's be fair, and there was no way Chelsea had run their race. Now, I do think it would be a different mindset for Chelsea supporters that if they'd have got to that final and been unlucky, but had an amazing go at it, you know, and not just unlucky because Liverpool scored in the last minute, but gave half an hour of endeavour, bravery, quality, and it just went against them, then I think they can hold their heads up high. But I think the Chelsea fan base, obviously I don't know too many, if any, but I can't believe that they can be happy just getting to a final, but then once they get there, surrendering against Liverpool's youths.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put this to the viewers that are watching at the moment. If there are any Chelsea fans watching, let us know what you think, because I get the feeling that irrespective of what happens in the semi-final against City, at the end of the season, Pochettino will say, yes, our league position wasn't great, but we got to a semi-final and the final in the cup competitions. So that is kind of progress.
I agree.
Really,
I agree
if you
with
think
that.
About it. Given, when was the last time Chelsea got to the cup final? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's give them hope, hasn't it? It's give them something to look back on, but it's give them hope for whatever comes next. So, yeah, I agree, Stel, yeah.
And then you've got players like Thiago Silva, especially his missus going on social media, posting a load of stuff, winding up the fans. The injury to James, don't know what's going to happen with him. He's the most injury-prone player since Luis Saha, I think, anyway. Chilwell's been in and out. Mudrick's form, Sterling's form. And Nkunku's been in and out of the team through injuries. Enzo Fernandez's discipline or disciplinary issues. Then you've got Caicedo over 100 million. And then they've got the lad they brought in from Southampton that hasn't even kicked the ball yet, has he?
Yeah, Labia, no.
So, given the circumstances, I think they've had an all right season. All right.
Yeah, okay, agree.
All right season. Okay, so we might as well move on to the game of the... Well, actually, I was going to say the game of the weekend. Let's move on to Coventry City. Coventry, what's happening here? Where are you going now? He's disappeared again. Amateur. Here he is.
There we go, Bosch.
Where my lager?
I've never done that before. It just went mad.
How many devices have you got?
I was on my phone there. This is me. Yeah, this is me. Go on, let's talk about that. We did totally opposite what Chelsea did.
Oh, I was going to talk about Coventry beating Wolves.
All right, go on then. Go on. Well, that was a really good game as well. Really good. Because at 2-1, on the 82nd minutes, I turned it off. So I thought, whoa. It was 1-0 and I turned over, it was 2-1. I thought, oh, that's it. I was gutted when I seen the score. But I went now watching the match today. No, really good goals as well. That third goal was a really good goal.
Yep. Had you right. Decent player. But Ellis Sims.
Could I be wrong? He played for Everton last year then.
Ellis Sims did, yeah.
Yeah, Sims. Thought he was.
Yeah. He's another one that, you know, maybe he's a championship level player. I don't know. But he's a bit of a handful as well.
He's like Antonio.
Mikel Antonio, yes.
Raw, pacey, you know, give you problems. But no, I haven't got that cutting edge. But, you know, he'll give you problems.
Well, he joined Coventry for 7 million euros, apparently. Apparently 7 million euros. I don't know where they got that money from, but it seems to be.
They got it from Gokeres and Hamer that went to Sheffield United.
Ah, yes, you're right. You're right.
They lost the two best players, got huge fees for them and reinvested. So they've done it well.
Because they lost in the playoff final last season, didn't they?
Yeah. Penalty.
So that's a big result for them. You know, they keep talking about that 87 cup final with Spurs. Keith Houchins header. Is it 86 or 87? 87, wasn't it?
87.
But yeah, I remember Coventry when they were at Highfield Road back in the day. And to see them in a cup semi-final, I think it's great. I think it's great for the cup as well.
Yeah.
I think. Do you think they can cause a shot then?
No. But it's a great event and occasion for them, and they can be allowed to dream. But I don't think any of the clubs that they'd have drawn in the semi-final would see them progress, and I think it's actually the best chance of winning, but I don't think they will.
What do you make of Mark Robbins as a coach?
Me?
Anyone, both of you.
yeah, we've done well with him, haven't we? He's done really well. Like I said, they've reinvested, good players. You know, they've got good spirit. They seem to be a team that's together. And, you know, that they've got some individual players that are really, really good. So, and some have got Premier League experience as well. So if they do, can go up probably through the playoffs if they do get in the playoffs. But, yeah, they'll find it difficult. Like Stas says, if they play Chelsea, City or us, they're going to be underdogs. But, you know, it's the FA Cup. We've seen, you know, seeing teams beat Liverpool at semi-finals, you know, Wimbledon, it can happen. Wigan, you know, it can happen. Who did Wigan beat? The final? Yeah, City. So it can happen.
So I find it incredible that this is his seventh season at the club. Yeah. Seventh.
Yeah, that must be one of the longest ones in the league, that.
It's got to be. I can't think of anyone that's been there longer in the Championship anyway, at the moment.
Anyway.
So, congratulations, Coventry. They face Man United, who beat Liverpool 4-3. Blimey, I don't know where to begin with this one. Rod, I'll give you the floor, mate.
Not like I was saying, we did the total opposite of what Chelsea did. You know, Chelsea seemed to sit back and want... Well, yes, we had to get a goal because we was behind, but, you know, still that... You know, gambling, you know, we've got Fernandes, Anthony left back. That's all you could do, really. You know, you might as well throw this kitchen sink at it. It's a cup game. Go for it. And he did. And you got the reward. You know, that's what you got to do. You take risks. It's always been the way at Manchester United. If you take risks, and ultimately you'll get the rewards. But, yeah, they were living dangerously. Liverpool on 1 point on a 5-on-2. You know, you'd expect a 3-on-2 and to score, but a 5-on-2, it was a poor play by Gakpo, was it? Gakpo?
Yeah,
it was very poor, but, you know, they fought back and did well, Liverpool, to go in front again. But then United could pull it back with a good goal by Rashford, McTominay setting up, Darwin Nunes making a bad mistake, and then the kid, Ahmad, with a good finish at the end. You know, great break, bit naive by Elliot at the end, thinking he had that much time, and, you know, they swung it on him, and the young kid nearly pulled it off, but now we're 2-on-1 and you know, got the winner.
Interesting that Liverpool are the best team in the world at scoring whilst defending their own corners. That's been proven over 3 years now, and they've actually been done at their own game when they've got an attacking corner for themselves, and United have defended a corner and scored from it. So they've been done at what they are the best in the world at.
Yes, well, you can see the way how they break. They break, you know, in numbers.
Yeah, but United did it better and more clinical for the winning goal. The way they stole the ball from Harvey Elliott on the bouncing ball with the broke, but the timing of everything was great. And obviously it wasn't a clean strike, was it? But it was just agonisingly just kind of like small bobbling away from Kelleher. And it was just a special moment, almost football gods, but take nothing away from the actual player because it was a great steal from him in the first place, wasn't it? Because he stole the ball.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Well, this is a player that came in with a pretty big price tag from Atalanta. They went on loan to Sunderland, I think it was.
Yeah,
and he didn't really get many opportunities, and he's come in, and I think obviously it's a fairy tale story. But I want to go back to.
He did really well at Sunderland, though. He did.
Yeah, he did.
At Sunderland.
Yeah, for sure. But I want to go back to the half-time team talk. What do you think Ten Hag said to his men? Because United went ahead pretty early in the game, conceded two before half-time. Obviously, it changes the team talk. But what has he said to these players? Because this is a United that I haven't seen in a long time in terms of the fight and the hunger and everything. I know effort is a given it's got to be standard. And if you're not up for these derby games, you should be up for every game. But if you're not up for these derby games, then you don't belong anywhere in football, as far as I'm concerned. But what do you think he said to him at half-time?
I think it'll have just been determination and pride-based, remembering that to who you are, who you represent. I mean, he looked smart in the new blazer, didn't he? And just to have a go and attack the Stretford end and go hard and go fast. I don't think there'll be anything intricate with the tactics, but let's not forget this was a Liverpool football club that finished the 90 minutes without Mo Salah and finished the extra time without Luis Diaz, who's the second best player in the Premier League at the moment. So they actually played right into Manchester United's hands. They gave Manchester United hope. They gave the Manchester United encouragement. And then, to be fair, what I did think will have been said at half-time happened. United just charged forward hard and got some breaks. And it didn't half out when the centre-forward, Darwin Núñez, comes back to left-back to get a pass from your own goalkeeper's kick. He only had to kick it up the field and Liverpool were safe, but they tried to be intricate and smart. He's probably never been there in his whole career, but collects the ball there in the quarter-final of the FA Cup, passes it in, and I think probably now a special mention to McTominay because he scored the first goal, but he also stole the second ball for Rashford for the second goal, then laid it on a plate for him. So I think he's starting to get more respect at the end of his name, but he seems to be a big player for United in the big games, McTominay.
Well, he's bailed out Ten Hag a lot this season.
Yeah.
A lot. More than he should have done. In fact, yeah, he did it last season as well, in all fairness.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I like him.
I think like starting play, forget it. If it's like controlling play, forget it. But if you're like a cup tie and you know, I mean, you have to play to a system and tactics, but if it's just about just break the play up in their half, steal some ball and run towards a Stretford end, well, he's as good as anybody at doing that. But he's actually, I think probably what should be mentioned for him as well is it's all right, keep running into the box, but you also have to have the timing to arrive the same time as the ball. And he does seem to be very good at that as well. So, you know, even as a Manchester City supporter, I really like McTominay for what he brings.
Rod, don't you think he's got a bit of Darren Fletcher about him?
No, Darren Fletcher could play.
I agree.
Yeah, Darren Fletcher could play. He's a good footballer, Darren Fletcher. You know, not so much in the rondos with the players of today, but...
I know where you're going with this.
well, he's not a player anymore, so he shouldn't be jumping in with the players of today. He's not to that standard, but... Well, he could play, and I think McTominay's more of an athlete. More of a arrive in the box late, get a goal, where Fletcher could play, start a play in the middle. So, yeah, McTominay's fucking his first touch is a set of railings. Just,
he's just a good asset for the tool, for the squad. But when you need some determination, you covered it, Stella. He's dragged them into some games and got some real vital goals just for running into the box, but it is a gift to also run in there and arrive the same time as the ball, and he does do it a lot.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And he's got some big goals. He has got some big, big goals this year. So, he could have been gone in the summer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He got two against Palace, didn't he? Yeah.
He's got a few this year.
For
Scotland as well.
Yeah, I remember, which game was it? Was it Brentford? United Wolves, the 4-3, where the commentator said he's United's second top goal scorer?
Yeah. Well, the top goal scorer was about 8 or 9, something like that.
He came on in one game at Old Trafford and scored two late on, I think, at the start.
Yeah. It was against Palace.
And he was scored
two against Brentford. It was Brentford.
Yes.
Yeah, two against Brentford, one against Sheffield United, two against Chelsea, one against Wolves, and Aston Villa, the winner against Villa, of course.
Yeah.
Wow. Good. Okay. Yeah, good. There you go. Let's quickly talk about Marcus Rashford, boys. He's come under a lot of criticism past few months, but he got the goal, which took the game to extra time, if I'm not mistaken. What do you make of his performance overall?
Well, he frustrated me with the first goal. Was it the first goal when he ran round him? I think it was the first goal that he gave away. Was it the first goal? Yeah, I think it was the first goal.
McAllister's one.
Yeah, but you know, he's frustrating, but you know he's got that quality. He just needs to work harder. That's all he needs to do. You know he's got the quality. It frustrates me when he's got to go up front and he doesn't give it. But yesterday was different. He was at it yesterday, but you can't just pick and choose when you're going to be at it. You need to be at it all the time. And he seems to be at it. He's got a bee in his bonnet. And when he's got a bee in his bonnet, he's a very good player, but we just need to see more of it and more work rate. It's just that's a given. And he knows that, be going up as a Manchester United Academy player. So I don't know where it's gone.
Yeah. And there's a comment here. Anthony is one of the biggest flops. Well, he scored with his right foot. I couldn't believe it. He's all left foot.
He's on par. It's Modric. They're both, and it's not their fault. They're both big prices. You know, the big prices yet, then both of them are yet to proper ignite, but they're both still really young. He's still 21, 22. Still young players.
What do you see in this player? What do you two see in this player? Rod, I know you played on the flank. Steve, you played on the wing, didn't you? Or did you play left back?
Wing back.
Wing back.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, let Rodri go first. I'm going to stick up for Rashford and Antony in a minute. But
Okay. So what is it about Antony then? Because I see him on that right wing. And
he's Antony's the total opposite of Rashford. The work rate's there. It's just, you know, maybe try him on the left. Swing that right. Because he's got pace. He's got everything you want as in a winger. But it's just making the right decisions. And, you know, he's got to be making the better decisions. He can't be, you know, knowing. You can't, as a defender, know what he's going to do. You know he's going to come on side and try and get it hit into that left foot. That's all he's trying to do. Well, mix it up a bit. Go down on your right. You obviously can use your right foot. Take him down the right hand side. Take him down the line. It's because he's got the pace. He's got everything you want as a winger. It's just frustrating. Now, you see this Sancho as well doing all this stuff in Dortmund. Where was that when he played for United? Because he'd get in them positions, but instead of committing and taking that risk and doing what you should do as a Man United by committing and taking someone on, he'd go back and pass it back to Luke Shaw or someone else.
Well, that's your problem. That's the problem, Roderick. That's exactly the problem. Manchester United have got the worst overlapping fullbacks in the game. Look at Newcastle United when Almiron gets the ball. Trippier runs on the outside, making 2v1 every time. Look at Kyle Walker running behind Phil Foden or Riyad Mahrez or Bernardo Silva every single time. On the other side, Vardiol from Manchester City runs on the overlap for Doku every time. And you've got a 2v1 opportunity, which gives your team more chances of doing something in the penalty area. I can't believe I'm doing this and supporting Manchester United's wingers. I'm not liking myself for this, but Manchester United largely have stay-at-home fullbacks, and the game's hard. And you're right when they've got to do more, but they've got they are confronted with 1v1s every match. And you're right, Antony. You know what he's going to do: cut inside and try and shoot. But if the right-backs every now and again, whether it be Dalot or Wan-Bissaka or whoever, would go around the outside, that would give Antony more options to play better football. And I think Rodri just nailed it without realising. All they then do is pass it back to Luke Shaw, pass it back to Wan-Bissaka. Well, if them fullbacks ran 30 yards harder and faster on the overlap, Man United would have two better wingers.
Is that not a coaching issue?
Well, I've just called it out, but it's bright and obvious to me.
I think Lindelof was probably the most when he does it, when he plays he's the one that probably plays higher. The fullbacks, they get there too late.
Exactly,
just too late.
I mean, Trippier's good. Trippier's good around Almiron, but it never gets the match highlights. because you know they're not in the top four or in the deep Champions League games. So let's go, Kyle Walker. I mean, I know City have a lot of ball and you can time it. The amount of times he runs round Bernardo Silva and Phil Foden and Mahrez before, it's done time and time again, tirelessly. You look if Man United do it at all.
I think there's your problem there. You've got too many players that are not team players. They just play for themselves.
But you wonder why Man United gets stuck in games. Because they go up together and back together, but they never actually over. They never rotate.
Oh, some of them spaces yesterday was like, what the fuck is going on? You could fit like a 7-a-side pitch in the middle of the pitch, in two or three areas where they're turning and there's just no one there.
What was the game 2 weeks ago? Fulham. I've never seen a team. Fulham are obviously quite good, but they're not an elite team in the Premier League. They absolutely destroyed United at Old Trafford through the middle of the pitch, running through exactly those gaps that you've said. They annihilated them.
Yeah, but there wasn't a midfielder in sight. There was like 40 yards space either side. It was a joke.
Yeah.
So many times. And, you know, you got Manu going all over the show. You've got McTominay going all over the show. And obviously, Fernandez, he's everywhere. So it must be so difficult as a defender thinking, what the fuck's going on here?
And they all want to run forward fast and all run back slow. It's a recipe for disaster in the end. But they had their day yesterday.
That's why Casemiro's been, you know, targeted because he's just isolated and they just run at him. He ain't got no pace to deal with it.
And they're talking about how he's all of a sudden dropped off a cliff and he's gassed and he looks about eight all of a sudden. I'm not surprised.
You've got the wingers out here, and he's just nowhere to be
literally
seen.
Literally on the touchline.
There you go. We've got it. Good show tonight, Stel. We're getting right to the bottom.
Figured it out.
never seen United go 2-3-0 up and just go right. That's it. Boom. Or even they just don't do it. The only way they're going to win is by playing that way.
It's roulette football, and it went their way yesterday.
Yeah, it's like the Dutch way of football, isn't it? It reminds me of Ten Hag. Like Van Gaal.
My experience, defence is winning leagues. So you know, if you can't keep a clean sheet, you're not gonna win now.
Of course,
every team that wins the league has probably got the best league. Best defensive record. And
what City did last 40 minutes in the Manchester derby was abuse against United.
Yeah.
But that's a tactical thing as well. They'd only just sat off. They didn't do that against Liverpool. Because Liverpool could have easily done that on yesterday, but it would have been the same result. You know, you just go for it. Yes, you'll probably get beat, but you won't be getting beat by just, like, it would have been a fight, it would have been stopped. Like, good enough.
The thing is, it just seems to me that Ten Hag doesn't allow a lot of his players to express themselves. I think with the exception of Fernandes and even Garnacho to some extent, the rest of them, they can't express themselves. Like, Dalot, you know what he's going to do. You know what he's going to do every time. Luke Shaw, you know what he's going to do. Like, it's very one-dimensional. And it just seems like archaic as well. I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
I think they look a lot better with Garnacho, with Højlund there. A lot better. Totally different team with Højlund there.
For sure. Cracking player. But
That's what we need to build around. Højlund, Manu, Garnacho. You know, Martinez when he's back. There's not much that you'd keep. I'd probably keep Antony because you spent a lot of money on him. And like I say, there's a lot to work with. Still there, and he's young. You know, McTominay, you keep because you know he's always going to get your goal. He loves the club. But
Keeper's getting better.
Pardon?
Keeper's getting better.
Keeper's getting a lot better. Very good yesterday. Solid. Yes, you expect him to save the saves, but no, did it very comfortably. But yeah, that's always the way we've seen that with De Gea. He's rubbish. He can't take crosses. Within a year, he's one of the best keepers in the world. So, Yeah, you've got to give plus, you know, looking at defences, you Steselton, you're trying to work with a defence, you want the same defenders, the same four, not, you know, two in here and then a right back, left back.
It's always different, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's difficult in itself. You've got Maguire in, and then Johnny Evans is in, he's left footed and then the right footed. So, you know, it's a lot to take in.
We put Wan-Bissaka at left back yesterday.
Yeah, you can see that though, because City have done that in the past when you're playing against Mo Salah. Who dribbles across the front of you to then tackle with your right foot? I can see that. I'm not a big fan of it, but I can see that one.
But if you seen it yesterday, I think that was a tactical thing. As soon as United lost the ball, Wan-Bissaka was 2 or 3 yards away from Mo Salah. He didn't really leave his side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's move on to Liverpool then. So the quadruple dream is over, and Jurgen Klopp wasn't very happy with a Danish journalist. Called him a little fatty, not in those words, but it might as well have done. And Teddy P's a Liverpool fan. Sorry, Stel, am I welcome? Cypriot Scouse from Napa. Rod's been to Napa.
I think I've been to Napa a few times.
There you go. I think Theo's got a bar there. Do you work in a bar there? Do you own a bar? Because he mentions drinking.
No, we used to go. It was a Starsky and Hutch. We remember we were driving home and our mopeds about 5 in the morning.
You went Starsky and Hutch?
Starsky and Hutch, and we seen Huggy Bear in one of the cafes, early cafes. Antonio Fagas.
My cousin's ex-husband used to own that place.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Starsky and Hutch. Crazy place. What else was there? There's loads of places.
Black and White.
Black and White. Where's the place where you go downstairs? Everyone's dancing on the bars.
I forget the name.
Yeah. It's
Bedrock's still there.
Bedrock, yeah. That's where you used to meet, Flintstones. But the square was the vibe back in the day, Napa. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, yes. I'm sure.
Nissy Beach. Woo, Nissy Beach.
I tell you what, I've got a mate that's got some great stories. He used to work at the bar there. And that's when they used to have beach football games. So Solid Crew would be playing other garage groups. Like, they'd be playing each other on the beach. It's mad. Anyway.
I digress. Yeah, they had sunbeds if you got tired. You got to lie down.
€5. £5. Anyway. So Liverpool. Klopp, the dream is over for Jurgen Klopp. He was a little bit fiery afterwards. But no mention of how it was a young team. You know, funny that when they won the cup, it was young team, great achievement. Yesterday, he didn't mention the age of these players. Is he protecting them, or is it because they're not as young as...
Well, there's a few things didn't get mentioned yesterday, a bit like nobody mentions Glazers out when Man United have a good day. But that's another story. But for Klopp, I think he's just an emotional... not wreck, but an emotional, maxed out competitor that knows he's coming towards the end now. I can imagine him being a bit reckless with his tongue.
Do you not suspect anything, or is he just like, you know, he's just knackered?
Well, he's not finished in footy.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think there's one club that he's going to go to, and it's back in Germany, and they're having problems at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's full on there as well, and it's a big job that Liverpool. Sometimes you just want to rest, don't you? Have a little sabbatical. Sure, Pep did it. I think he did before he got to Bayern Munich, though.
Not for long, but yeah.
Little sabbatical, and boom, you're off again. Yeah. Oh, it's a way of getting out of Liverpool and ended up at Munich, which you probably will do.
Yeah. Fair one, man.
Yeah, for sure. But they've still got the Europa League, and they've still got the title to go for, and they've got a cup in the bank, so to speak. So,
yeah. You
know, but in all fairness, like, with all jokes aside, I mean, look, if you look at the amount of injuries that they've had this season and the lineup that they put out the other day, you know, Kelleher in goal, obviously he's still young. He's got a bit of experience. Kwanzaa, the centre-back, did he play any games last season? I don't know. Bradley at right-back has been brilliant.
Bristol Rovers still.
Yeah, but at Liverpool?
He was at Bristol Rovers on loan.
Yeah, but for Liverpool, I don't think he played any games, did he?
No.
No, Bradley looks good. Clark looks decent when he's come on. So they've got some good young kids that he's willing to throw in there now. I think that after seeing him in the final, he's thought, you know what, these kids are good enough. So if I need him, I'm just throw him in there.
We got Neil Danzi's lad as well, striker.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've done very well. They've done very well. So anyway. There's a comment here, Rod. You look fit, Rod. Come to Omonia. We need a new number 10. Behave.
No problem.
Omonia. He's not coming to Omonia.
He'll take that up well money and score on goal.
For the right fee, it can be arranged.
Oh, blimey. All right, so the semi-finals are City against Chelsea, Coventry against Man United. They were joking on ITV saying, oh, you know, Mark Robbins saved Alex Ferguson's job. Maybe he will save Ten Hag's job. I don't think it's going to be a walkover for United, but what are we talking? Manchester Derby, second year in a row?
Yeah.
Yes.
Resounding?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
No, Chelsea, you know, Chelsea, you never know on the day. You never know.
Steve. Steve's like, what?
Semi-final, you never know.
What are you talking about, Rodri?
Rodri's left his bed again.
You'd expect City to win, but you know, what I'm saying is, semi-final is not a gimme, but you'd expect City to win.
Absolutely. Right, there's a question here. What do you guys think of Aston Villa's performances? Yeah, that's a good question because we haven't touched on the Premier League yet, which we're going to do. Yeah, guys, Aston Villa, good season for them. Very good season.
Brilliant. I'll do it quick. Similar to Newcastle, I think they'll blow up because they put that much running and sprinting and enthusiasm into the first 75% of the matches that I think they're going to blow up. But they have got a liking of the manager. They've got the fan base connected and onside, and they've done great and they've overachieved. I think Newcastle have blown up and I think Aston Villa will be next. But I think they've been brilliant.
Yeah, I think Villa and Tottenham, you know, you look at the fixture, they've got some difficult fixture to come. And then you look at the fixture list and nothing. Yeah, they'll beat Fulham and they get beat at Fulham easily. West Ham should have won 2-1. A dubious decision at the end of the game, but and then they've had some dodgy results coming. But like I said, they've got some big games coming up: City, Arsenal, Tottenham. So yeah, I wasn't really thinking United are getting to the top four, but you know, if keep Hoyland fit. We may sneak fifth. Because I don't think one of them will just creep over the line. But yeah, and I'd probably guess it would be Villa because, like Stez said, there's been a lot of running. They haven't got a massive squad. They're still in Europe, so might catch up with
them.
Even so, they've done really well. Really good to watch as well. I like watching Villa this year. He's a really good coach. And you know, history speaks for itself. He's the only one.
He got a lot of stick at Arsenal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
It's always going to be the first because he's the first coach after Wenger retired. Just like with Moyes at United, the first guy that comes in after the legendary manager, they're always going to be in a hiding to nothing. And obviously, his English weren't great and everything, but now he's got the buy-in from the players.
Well, that's what Gwams does.
No, I just said definitely disagreeing.
That's what Liverpool need to be wary of, you know, after Klopp. Get the right man in.
Well, see, this is it. We could talk about Liverpool again, man, but who is out there or who can take this team? Who can take this Liverpool team?
We're talking
about Xavi Alonso.
Someone in Germany who's doing really well.
Well, Alonso. Well, yeah, but would you want it just yet?
Who knows?
Just yet.
They're going to have to make him an offer that he can't refuse. Because he's the, you know, what he's done there, they've not been beat all year.
Yeah.
And that's Bayern Munich and no mugs. We played them this year twice and that first game, they toyed with us. Literally toyed with us. So they're no mugs and they beat them comfortably when they played them this year. So... And to not lose a game all season, you know, in any league, that's difficult. In a top league like the Bundesliga,
No. Fair point. Well, Villa are 9 points ahead of United, 3 ahead of Spurs. Postecoglou, they lost big time the other day against Fulham. But again, another team that's in transition. What do you expect from Tottenham? Like, what can you say about Spurs? I think it's been a great season for them so far, given the circumstances, losing Harry Kane and all these new signings, relative unknowns, really.
I think they've got the fans back on side, which is crucial. Mm. I think the manager gets that that loving, that enthusiasm, that everyone thinks he's a great fella, first of all. People have already made their mind up he's a great bloke from what they've heard, and then the first opinion, which is a gift, and he's got that. He's got Son pretty much always playing to his maximum. He's got Madison, not always fit, but when he plays, he's a bit of a talisman for them. They play good football from the back, and then they get up to the halfway line with the high line to make overloads in one half, and then mix a risk and reward because they leave half a pitch of grass behind them for the other team to run into. So I think, again, I've used this. I've never used it before, but I'm going to use it for the second time tonight, a bit like United, but it's like roulette football, and sometimes it could possibly blow you away, and then you can get chinned by Fulham 3-0.
All right, West Ham, seventh in the table. A few weeks ago, West Ham fans wanted David Moyes sacked, which again is a bit of a weird one for me, given that he won them a European trophy last season and they lost Declan Rice. I think he's done very well for him. I'm not a big David Moyes fan either, but I think he's done very well for him. Better than expected, anyway.
Me too. I agree.
Yeah, Wee Davey is... it's shocking. These West Ham fans, who do they want? What do they want?
Harry Redknapp.
No, but what do they want? He's not gonna get him into the top four. No one is. What do they want? They win a final last year, they sell a player for 120 million quid, they reinvest that and get decent players. They've got some really good players at the minute. What do they want?
Rodri, it's a quarter final 3 years running. I don't think they won it last year, but it's a European quarter final 3 seasons running.
When have ever, in West Ham's history, ever been this successful?
Pass. When they won the World Cup in 1966.
Yeah, come on, let's be realistic. They had two or three players that played for West Ham. But, yeah, that's not West Ham, is it?
No.
That's what they seem to live on a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
So I think it's all the keyboard warriors and all probably the YouTube fan West Ham fans or the celebrity West Ham fans. I don't believe the real core West Ham fans want David Moyes out. They probably can wish it. It's got four a couple of weeks ago, three the other week. They're not as if they're not scoring goals. They are scoring goals. I don't know where they get. I don't know where this noise comes from. Pathetic, really.
Entitlement, mate.
It's pathetic. Entitled to what? It's like Newcastle. They haven't won a fucking bean in 50 years. They're entitled for what? Because they're a big club. Piss off.
Well, they've got your guy as head coach. You must be happy for him, at least.
They're very lucky to have Super Edit. Very, very lucky to have him.
Maybe that's who West Ham want. Maybe that's who they want.
Well, he's not going to leave Newcastle. Newcastle, a bigger club than West Ham.
He'll be the next England boss. I'm telling you, he'll be the next England boss. He'll be the next England boss.
Jose Mourinho?
No, Eddie Howe.
Oh, Eddie Howe. Okay.
He'll be the next England boss.
No. People telling me Gareth Southgate's going to be United manager in the summer. It's just total ridiculous, the stuff that goes round. It's ridiculous. But West Ham are probably, are they a bigger club? I don't think, mind you, how big's West Ham's ground? 60,000?
It's the athletics, the Olympic stadium.
So what's Newcastle, 57?
Yeah.
55? But Newcastle, one city club. West Ham, got a fight with all the clubs in London. So I'd say West Ham's probably bigger.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Especially with the connection with the World Cup players.
There's a second division team in Cyprus that's got the same colours as West Ham because the former owner of that club was a West Ham fan and he lived in the UK, a Cypriot. Okay. So he took the kit out there and they've taken the colours and they've got a good relationship with West Ham.
Nice.
Top of the league as well. Top of the league.
That's the Villa.
Huh?
Or Burnley?
No, man.
Claret and blue, same colour. Don't just check in.
Yeah, but weren't Burnley one of the founder members of the Football League, if I'm not mistaken? Were they?
Well, it's Notts County.
Yeah, I said one off. Bury were.
Is it Sheffield as well?
Sheffield City or something like that, I think. Anyway.
Sheffield FC.
Sheffield FC, there you go. Right, one more story. We actually got two quick ones. Nottingham Forest have been deducted 4 points, which means they're now in the bottom three. They're a point behind Luton. Apparently, according to the BBC, they've lost a total of 95 million since 2020. But despite selling, Brennan Johnson to Spurs, that clearly wasn't enough to help their cause. I don't understand this sustainability model. I don't understand financial fair play anymore. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Can anyone shed some light on what's going on here?
Well, it seems like the clubs don't either. So everyone, yeah.
So. Okay. No idea, mate. Sorry.
Well, they got a harsher punishment than Everton, and Everton had it reduced, didn't they?
Yeah, it's just because they've had 2 years in the Championship spending this money or something.
Yeah. But the thing is, surely you'd think that the newly promoted teams would get a little bit more leeway. Because I'm okay, I get they get the parachute payments. And I heard the other day that I think 45 of the 72 teams outside of the Premier League have been in the Premier League. That's incredible. I was just trying to reel off the list of the teams that are in the 72 that have been in the Premier League. You're talking about Oldham, Wigan, Bradford. I mean, it's been that many teams. It's incredible.
Yeah,
so don't know how they work out. Don't know how they work out. But I'm reading that it's changing again. But who knows? It's just so basically the Premier League are playing God who gets relegated. Are they going to make this decision now before the league, or they did it afterward when the league finishes? Is it people going to appeal stuff? And then it goes to the courts, and then, it could be in July, and then, boom, you're relegated. What?
Look, I don't want to say too much, but I know all about that club's owner. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying anything else.
They did buy a lot of players. A lot of players. They bought Jesse Lingard. He was on a fortune. He was there a year. He'd have been on, $6-7 million.
Yeah.
A year, plus the wages, plus the fees that they're putting out. They bought, 20 odd players?
Yeah, last season, yeah, with Cooper as head coach, yeah.
Well, yeah, when you're buying 20 odd players, fees, agent fees, wages, all adds up. That's a lot of money, that, for a club that have just come up.
It's mad. It's absolutely mad. I mean, just this summer, they brought in Sangare, Elanga, Chris Wood.
Turkish, Greek, or Cypriot, they're not to be trusted.
Hey, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything because part of me agrees with you. So,
Whatever they don't know, don't hurt. That's the Greek Cypriot model. Whatever they don't know, don't hurt. Boom. There you go. Handshake.
It's funny because it's true. Moving on very, very quickly, boys. Benjamin White has rejected the opportunity to play for England. Will he live to regret this? Because this is a guy that doesn't like football, apparently. Apparently he doesn't watch football when he's at home.
Is it right that he fell out with the assistant, his assistant in England?
I don't know.
Steve, kind of, what's his name?
Steve Holland.
Yeah, Steve Holland, that's it. They've had an argument, haven't they? That's why he left the World Cup.
That's the strong, that was the strong rumour.
Yeah, so they've had a fallout. They've had a, you know, throw wash bags at each other, and they've got off. And he's not liked it. No, you're not working out. I don't know. Whatever's gone on. It's a bit strong to walk out. You don't walk out.
Is it lost to England, though? Will England suffer without Ben White?
No.
He's not going to play, is he? So... He's not, though, is he? He plays right back. He's not. You've got Kyle Walker, better. Kieran Trippier, better. Trent Alexander, if you choose to play there, better. So, who's going to play centre-half?
What about the right back at Liverpool? Is the youngster? Is he English as well?
No, he's not.
No, he's Northern Ireland.
He's Northern Ireland.
Okay. Well, you've ruled off three.
He's probably looked at it thinking, you know what, got an eyebrow appointment there. We need to put my eyebrows. So yeah. It looks like the shaving the leg type, doesn't it? So
Love Island, mate. Love Island.
No, he does look like he likes to look after himself. You know? Like I said, you've heard of interviews. He doesn't watch football. He just plays it. It's just a job to him. So why do I want to spend time when I'm not going to get paid for it? No, I don't really want to do it. You get people like that. Strange people, but you get people like that. You should have to respect it, don't you?
Well, do you remember when Hoddle left out Gazza from the World Cup squad, right? I mean, that was Paul Gascoigne, okay? But Ben White being left out of the England squad ain't going to have the same kind of impact, is it? Again, I'm not shitting on the guy because I think he's been one of the best defenders in the league this season, in all fairness. Right, but is replicating that domestic form, your club form, to international is very difficult. It's a different world as well. So,
and he has been playing well there for Arsenal. Give him credit. He has been setting up a lot of goals. He's been playing well there, and he's a centre half, really playing right back. Or is he a right back playing centre half?
True, but then you could flip it and say, well, perhaps he's doing well for Arsenal because the system that they're playing is suited to him, whereas with England, do you fully get that?
I will say this, that it's a shame for England. It's a shame for England because he's not better than Kyle Walker, and he's not better than Kieran Trippier, and he's not better than Alexander-Arnold. Rodri covered that. But if he is to get an appearance for England, or if he was to get an England appearance, the likelihood the player playing 10 yards in front of him is Bukayo Saka. So they train with each other every day. They play with each other every Saturday, every Wednesday night. They win football matches together. They've clearly got something going as a partnership in a good football team, a well-coached team. It is actually England's loss to a point. Whilst he's not better than the three better senior right backs, should he play, he's already got a hand in glove type of trust and relationship with a teammate 10 yards in front. I think that's a miss for England.
Why Gary Neville played a lot at the end of his career because he had a good rapport with Beckham.
There you go. So, you know, you don't have to worry. I mean, good players should be able to play well with anyone, but it does help for England if you've got a right hand side of playing for the same team that are possible Premier League winners. So, but I will finish as you started, Rodri, though. He isn't better than the other three.
There you go. Problem solved. And while we're talking about England, what are their chances of winning the Euros, Steve?
Strong.
Is that because of the quality of the squad or the quality of the opponents?
Quality of the squad.
Okay.
Quality of the squad. It's the best league in the world that our players compete in, other than Harry Kane. We trust him to be fit and firing. I've not looked deep into it, but semi-finals at least, and then at that point you're in the last four. Why not? Yeah. Strong.
I think a lot hinges on Jude Bellingham's form because he's been incredible at Real Madrid. I mean, I knew he was a talent, but he's gone to that club. And we've seen bigger names crumble at Real Madrid. And he's just gone in there and he's like, fuck this, I own the gaff.
Yeah.
He's just ripped it apart.
Would you take Kobbie Mainoo?
No, I think it's too soon for him, personally. Yeah.
So, you take Jordan Henderson?
Well, what are the central midfield options? You've got Declan Rice, Jude Bellingham. Could you perhaps play Foden as a 10 and Bellingham as an 8?
Absolutely, yeah.
And have Declan Rice as the holding midfielder. And then you've got three ahead, whether it be Rashford, that'd be
my three straight away. Like, yeah. Because then you could have Rashford on the left or Grealish, whichever he prefers. And then obviously big Kyle Saka on the right.
I want to just say this. I know you're tempted with Rashford, and we all would be. But this season, Cole Palmer and Anthony Gordon have both been better than Rashford. Forget yesterday. Yeah.
I agree, but there's a lot of defenders that have been better. Harry Maguire and Gareth Southgate likes his players.
Yeah,
which has always been the way with England managers. They like the certain players.
Well, in that case, Henderson will go.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, yeah. You made a very good point there about Anthony Gordon. He's been ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
He'll definitely go in because he's got pace to burn as well.
I watched him Saturday, Rodri. I can't remember the last time I've seen him live. It seems a while ago. And you know what shocked me, mate? He's big, you know.
Yeah, he's about 5'10", 6'.
He played up front or tried to play up front and he'd catch pigeons, like, but we knew that. And he works hard and he's ruthless. But I looked at him and thought, oh, he's filled out now. He's big, you know.
Mm. But not big, like tall.
No, but just shocked me a little bit. I thought, oh.
Athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gives a... When he's always been seen playing against Kyle Walker, he always gives him a good run for his money.
Yeah, just about.
He's quick, man.
No, but there's not many people that do, though, mate. There's not many people at all that he worries about, and you know, there's a couple. I think Diaz worries him for Liverpool because you know he can go either way and he's quick with his feet. You get him in the last third, but you know, if anywhere near the halfway, then you've got no chance. You've got to get Kyle Walker squared up in the last third, and you might have a chance, but other than that, you've got no chance.
No.
Well, he's picked a decent squad. I mean, Madison's back in. So even he can play as a 10. I mean, you could put Foden on the right.
Palmer's been better than Madison.
Well, yeah, but if you well, as a, but where would you play him though? I mean, you mentioned Rashford, but
I think as a 10, you can only have if it was me, you could only have Foden, Cole Palmer, and. There's not many, maybe Gordon, but I'd rather him out on the left, to be honest.
Mine's a fit Grealish.
Yeah, fit Grealish. He's got options. That's what you want as a coach. You want options. You know, if you're sorry, you're not going to play, but you know, you're going to be a part of it. You're going to come on last 30 minutes. It's going to be a long World Cup. You will get a piece. So you've just got to have the right attitude. I'm sure they will. They've always had done it, England, but you know, that. So to answer your question you started with, so the way they win it, it's all down to the manager and how he plays in them moments when they get to the latter stages. Can he have that ruthless streak, or is it just old, you know, defences, let's not get beat?
But being brave, though, isn't it, Rod?
Being brave.
I don't think he's a brave coach.
Taking risks at the right moments as well, instead of being cautious. Go for it. You've got the players to be offensive, and you've got, you know, that solid base with Stones and Maguire that do well for England.
He can't say that he's not a sport for choice in attacking respect. I mean, we mentioned five or six players. We didn't mention Tony, Ollie Watkins, Bowen, It's not a free there.
But there's a difference, mate. It's all right when you're playing these early stages. When it gets to the end and you're playing these Frances and Spains and these top sides, and you need one chance, bosh. Well, are you confident they get them?
I think Bowen can do it though, because I tell you on the
count. Bowen, there's another one. There's another one that I would take, Jared Bowen. I would. He's a good option, eh?
There you go.
Can play all across the left and the right. And who's going to be a backup for Saka?
Phil.
Who?
Phil Foden, and then someone will play. Someone will play in Phil's position.
How many players do you take? 23.
Pardon?
How many players is it? 23.
It used to be, didn't it?
Yeah.
So would you take? You'd have to take. He's obviously going to take three keepers. Yes, Phillips is gone now. He's out of it. He's gone. City have finished him off.
But have City finished him, or has he finished himself?
Both.
He's fit. Yeah, both. He's found his level. He's been, fuck me, this is too much for me. This is. He's supposed to be one to have legs. Where's his legs gone?
Yeah, right again.
Maybe
he was Bielsa's engine. The amount of coverage, the amount of, they used to always go on the bang about the kilometres on the average running he does in a game. Where's that gone? Looks heavy. It's what happens when people get a big wage packet. Go one way or the other.
There we go. Thanks, Charlie. All right. Well, boys, is there anything else we need to touch on? Anything?
Yorkshire Pirlow. In the laugh.
Shall we end it there? Well, boys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll be back soon. We're going to try to do this more often because it's always a laugh. It's always a laugh. See, no structure. We just pluck shit out of the air and here we go.
Remember when you used to send me them fucking them scripts and that back in the day when we first started?
Yeah, man. See, I was keen back then.
How long would it take you to do then?
Well, I listen, the job that I had at the time, I was in IT, so I had two
screens. There's been series used to get like a script and they were going to talk about this, and then we're going to do that, what's going on here? Proper professional now. Just
people are like, what the fuck is this? I said it to people, like, what is this?
Page after page, going on here?
Still,
now we're just professionals, wing it.
Good luck Saturday, mate.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So just in case people don't know, we've got this charity event on the 23rd. We've got over 30 podcasters. We've got almost, I think we're close to €1,000 in donations now, which is incredible. We've got more gifts handed over to us as part of the prize giveaways. Fabiano signed this shirt for us. Vucenovic has given us one. There's loads of stuff. So I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to save it for the day because it's going to be wild. 11 hours. Stream non-stop. Be there. And if you're not there, watch it on repeat. Fuck knows. Hi there. Bye-bye.